Hola amigos, welcome to the How to Learn Spanish podcast, a podcast designed to help you become fluent in conversational Spanish. My name is Levi Flint. In this episode of the podcast, we're going to dive into the topic of host families, specifically staying with a Spanish-speaking host family when you are studying at a language immersion school. All right, guys, before we get started with today's episode, just want to let you guys know that if you head over to MexicanFluency.com, that's my website. That's where you're going to find my courses, my one-on-one Spanish conversation coaching, and much, much more, okay? Want to also let you guys know that I'm on Instagram at Mexican Fluency, and I have a pretty cool podcast over at the Mexican Fluency Podcast, okay? So the best place to listen to that is going to be Spotify, but if you're insisting on listening elsewhere, you can also check it out over at Apple Podcasts, okay? Well, let's dive right into today's episode. But first, when I have enough listeners, I'm going to run a quick ad right here. All right, here we go, guys. Let's dive right in. So like I said, we're going to be talking today about host families. I think this is a cool topic. I was thinking, I've been brainstorming a lot of different topics that we could hit on here on the revamped version of this podcast. I have many, many other ideas jotted down that we're going to dive into. But kind of piggybacking on where we left off in the last episode, where I talked about Spanish immersion schools, I was pretty much focused on Mexico. I gave you a few different ideas about, well, pretty much what those programs are like, what you can expect when you are a student in one of those types of schools. And again, I just wanted to kind of recap that, you know, right now here in 2023, some places that I would look at if you guys are interested would be Mexico City, Cuernavaca, Querétaro, all those or locations that are right in the Mexico City area. Also Puebla. Me personally, I've spent most of my time in Cuernavaca and also Zacatecas. Zacatecas right now in 2023 is considered to be a little dangerous. I haven't been there myself in quite some time, but if you're willing to risk it, it's a pretty neat, unique little town and you're not going to have much English there at all. So that's always a good option. So there's loads of other options. I mean, Mexico itself is a giant country. My number one, just again, touching on the topic from last episode, if you guys are interested in a Spanish immersion language school, just keep in mind before you book it, I would recommend to not waste your money and doing it in a place where there's a lot of foreigners, okay? A lot of foreigners, a lot of tourism equals a lot of English being spoken. You don't want to walk outside of your house in the morning and hear English. That's just going to go against what you're going for. You want to walk outside and hear Spanish. You want to struggle. That is the point. You want to struggle. So here is another way today to make sure that you are struggling enough to learn Spanish. You want to be staying with a Spanish-speaking host family. Now, a lot of people will think, oh, well, this is for like college students, or this is for high school students. This is for like the exchange students, we call them, right? Where you're going to the country and then the other country is sending their students to the US, right? Or to Canada, wherever you guys are listening from. So what I have found to be true over the course of my adult years, so I never really did this. I never did anything like this in high school. I did it a little bit once I was in college. I didn't go with that's not true. I did one college program. So I went to school in Texas, a college in Texas, and then we went down to Monterrey, which is the third largest city in Mexico in the north. There was an immersion program down there, and I stayed with a host family. So that was interesting. That was probably my least favorite host family I ever stayed with. Some of the best were definitely in Cuernavaca, Mexico, and also in Zacatecas. Some really, really unique situations, and they were great. These particular host families worked with the language schools. So one thing you'll keep in mind, or you want to keep in mind, is whenever you're looking into these language schools, and it doesn't matter if you're in college, if you're in your 20s, if you're in your 30s, if you're in your 40s, I went to a few different language immersion schools in my 20s, and there were very old people in the program. I mean, for me at the time, what was old was like, you know, 40, 50s, and 60s. You know, now, you know, here in my 30s, you know, I would fully expect to see people my age who had remote job, who were had a little bit of money, a little bit of extra time that they were taking. But people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, even probably up into their 70s are definitely going to these programs, and putting the time in and trying to immerse themselves in an intensive language learning environment. And so whenever you're staying at these or you're going to these schools to study, you typically have a couple of options. You have what I'm talking about today is the host family option. You also have the options of kind of just going off on your own and renting an apartment. Sometimes these language schools will set you up with an apartment if you want some kind of private housing situation. Or obviously today we have Airbnb. We have all sorts of different things with the internet that's going to allow us to find lodging as we see fit. But I would encourage you guys, if you are going to these schools, you owe it to yourself. If you want to get the most out of it, you want to contact the school and to ask them about their host family options. Usually they're going to have partnerships that they've already formed with various host families in the community. Most of these schools are going to, or most of these homes will be pretty close to the school. So you're able to just walk there. Or if it's in a big city, you know, you're going to have to grab a cab or Uber or bus. But if it's in a smaller city or a town, something like that, you'll definitely typically be pretty close to the school. And this is amazing because you have this dynamic going on where you are at school from, let's say, 9 to 2, 9 to 3. And whenever you wake up in the morning, if it's a good host family, you know, if they're really, you know, not just collecting a paycheck and feeding you and sending you on your way, they're actually trying to engage with you. They're trying to help you speak Spanish when you're not in school. And they're also trying to, they're trying to bring you into the family. So you're, it's almost like you're a kid again, you're a kid or you're a teenager again, right? Where you have a mom, there's the dad, there's the brothers and sisters, if they have kids who are there at the house hanging out, other family members, uncles, aunts, grandma, grandpa might come over. And it's a fantastic environment because it ends up simulating what you had as a kid. And this is one of the main reasons that if you go to a language immersion school, it's not really just the school. It's not the school that's like so magical. It's the combination of that with a good host family that makes it a truly immersive experience. And like if you're going for a month, wow, are you ever going to be immersed? You're going to be super tired. And by the time you finally retreat to your room in the evening, you are just going to pass out. You'll probably pass out quite early on a lot of nights. But again, getting back to what it's like to stay with a host family as an adult, 20s, 30s and up, what you can expect is typically how it works is they will prepare your meals for you. And typically it's like going to be breakfast, lunch. So breakfast is usually just similar to what we would do in the U.S. Like it's going to be eggs. It's going to be in Mexico, obviously, it's like more like eggs, beans, toast, sometimes like tortillas and things like that. So you can kind of make your little taquito. Typically, that's going to in your fruit and, of course, papaya and melon and all that kind of stuff. So that's typically what you're going to have for breakfast. And then a lot of host families will like the mom will sit down with you and chat with you while you're having your breakfast. Or if there's other students staying there, you'll kind of sit down as a group and chat. A lot of times, maybe if the dad lives at the house, he'll come sit down. But typically like the rest of the family is kind of like doing their thing and either sleeping in later or they're, you know, getting their day started on their own terms. But whenever you come in for lunch after, so you get out of school, you come home for lunch, which is like 2 to 3 or 3 to 4. That is truly like the ultra social hour meal for sure. That's like the big meal. You guys are going to sit there. You're going to have, you know, usually a pretty heavy meal. It's kind of like instead of having a heavy meal for dinner, it's going to be between that 2, 3, maybe even out to 4 hour range or to 4 o'clock range. So that's a great opportunity to eat. You know, if the host family cook or ideally cooks amazing, you're going to really enjoy that. You're going to get some bomb food. And most importantly, for Spanish learning, you're going to have probably a solid hour, 45 minutes to an hour of immersion. And I remember this vividly where I was really early on in my Spanish learning. I remember actually my first week with a host family that I ever stayed in Cuernavaca. And I was like, I just did not have a conversational skill set at that point. And you're struggling because you've already been in school all day. You're tired. The mamá mexicana is trying to have a conversation with you and you're eating. You're just like trying your best to like pull from what you already knew before and also what you acquired in school that day. And, you know, but over time, if you do it enough, if you're lucky enough and fortunate enough, like I am, to have gone to a lot of these different types of schools and have invested a lot of time and my own money into this, you end up realizing as time goes on, as month one, two, three, or a return trip, you're trying this again. And when you feel your abilities, your confidence increasing, when you're sitting out the meal, being able to have a conversation, chat back and forth for 45 minutes while you're enjoying your meal and just chilling, it's just an incredible transformation that you really, really should give consideration to if you're on the fence or if you're serious about learning Spanish. And then the evenings, typically, you know, you'll probably get home after your meal. Most of the time, you know, everyone kind of goes and does their own thing. Or if you have a really cool family, they'll invite you to go hang out and do some stuff later. But typically at that point, you're brutally exhausted. Or if you're an adult, you might need to hop on your computer, get some work done. Or, you know, just whatever you need to do, could take a nap or something like that. That tends to be what happens. And then in the afternoons, later evenings, you know, typically you're either going to leave the house, go out, do stuff, or you can do the dinner thing, which is going to be like at 7, 8 o'clock, usually 9 o'clock latest. And that's also a pretty good conversation opportunity as well, right before bed. It's not like the most social thing. And again, I'm just talking about Mexico, but it's still a great opportunity. Get in a little bit more practice before you go to bed, before you go back to your room and chill out, study, prepare, take a shower for the night and kind of chill. And what happens if you stay at one of these host family immersion programs, you know, the programs kick off pretty early in the morning. So you'll probably be whipped at the end of the day, and or maybe you'll go out and then you come back and yeah, and that's it. And then the next day it's just on repeat. And that's Monday. That's going to be your Monday through Friday schedule. Okay. So, that should give you a pretty good idea of what you're looking at. If you guys ever decide to go do a Spanish immersion language school in Mexico or pretty much anywhere else in Latin America, I think it's going to be a very similar type of routine. In Spain, I'm not sure because I have never been to Spain, but I know that in Mexico and in a lot of countries, most countries in Latin America, you're going to have that type of experience if the language school is a good one and they really have like a good system and a good network of host families. I fully recommend it. Again, even if it's just a month, hell, even if it's just 2 weeks, if you take those 2 weeks seriously, you really can get a lot of linguistic acquisition development in that short chunk of time. Just make sure, again, that you're focused, you're speaking minimal English, and you're really, really taking advantage of the host family in terms of as an educational opportunity, right? Not like in a bad way, but educational opportunity. You're really focusing, you're trying to speak a lot, you're asking questions, you're looking to them as an extension of the school and as your teachers. And again, good host families take on that role of being teachers as well. Like, they're not going to sit there and break down grammar for you, but they're happy to chat with you. They deal with foreigners who are learning Spanish all the time. And again, it's an amazing addition. It's an amazing supplement to a Spanish immersion school. Okay, guys. So take this in consideration if you guys are ever planning to do this. I hope you guys do. If you're listening to this podcast, guys, if you have any questions, specifics, you can always email me, levi@mexicanfluency.com. I try to give you guys as much information as I can. I try to keep these episodes 15 minutes max. But again, if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email. Make sure to follow me at Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on YouTube, although I don't give it a ton of attention right now. And guys, try to tune into this podcast over at Spotify. I'm trying to get my listens up over there. So hopefully, this might not be something you guys want, but I'd love to be able to run one ad per episode. It would really, really help me out a lot. just to have some sort of bonus. Also, guys, make sure to follow or to check out my courses, the Fluency Hour Trilogy, Fluency Hour 1, 2, and 3. Those are my courses. Check those out, guys. I have a new one kicking off at the beginning of every month. Okay, so head on over there, and I will see you guys in the next episode. Adios.
Yeah.